Hi everyone, it's Mandy here with Yachting International Radio, and I'm absolutely delighted to have my good mate Bradshaw on this show again. About a year ago, Bradshaw was doing an interview with us just as he was leaving on InfoTrack to start the Sydney Hobart, and this year's been a whole different kettle of fish. This must be the first Hobart you haven't done in a very long time.
For the Hobart race, it was the 76th year, so it did not go ahead. And then for me, it was supposed to be my 29th. Wow. And it was a little bit unusual on Boxing Day, not really kind of getting the boat ready and not going through the motion to head out to the start line.
And were you guys all ready to go? You were planning on doing the race and all prepped up and...
Yeah, we were cocked. We were good to go. We had a succession of wins over the Blackjack boys, and we had the boat 100% tippy boo ready to roll. She was just sitting down at Woolwich Dock waiting for all of us to jump on and go for a downwind slide, which never happened for us. So, no, the boat was in really good shape and all the crew were in best shape that we've been together in years. We did three solid weeks of sailing together, and then all of a sudden, nothing. So she's still sitting down there ready to go.
And how's the sailing scene in Australia at the moment? Have you guys got any races planned, or is everything on hold at the moment? What's going on?
So it's kind of interesting with the various state borders closing to other states at the moment, and we haven't really been able to do any interstate racing, which is very unusual. The guys at the Ocean Racing Club in Victoria are able to do the Rudder Cup, which is from Melbourne to Tasmania, and then the Tasmanian, the Derwent Sailing Squadron, held the Launceston to Hobart race. But we really haven't had any other racing interstate apart from doing our Blue Water Points Call, which is starting in Sydney and leaving from Sydney. But even then, that was six races normally, and they only held two here at the CYC. So it's every time we plan something, it kind of gets gazumped by COVID, and we just need to keep on planning and keep on pushing ahead and try and plan the next race. So if an outbreak occurs, normally the governments hold our hands and tell us that we can't go racing. We're trying to do some inshore stuff, and the CYC has announced a three-race event for offshore sailors February and March. So hopefully we can get that underway and we can go and compete in that. But the 100-footers aren't really interested in that. They're 90 and 100-mile dashes, so we'd be done pretty quickly for them. So we're really concentrating on the 60-footers down for them, for those races. But we're trying to conduct races, and every time we do, it seems that something happens with COVID and the race gets cancelled. But we keep on trying.
And so what did everyone do on Boxing Day? Was there a huge party at the CYC, or did everyone just stay at home? Like, how did everyone spend that Boxing Day?
A few boats actually went out to the start line and kind of reenacted motoring going out. A couple of boats went sailing out on the harbour. I really didn't see too many people. Tori and I took our Col 43, great little Australian design. From the 70s, we took our Col 43 Electra up to Middle Harbour and went cruising for a week and a half, which we've only just gotten back from. So I think a lot of the competitors did different things, and I know our guys were very quiet and we all just kind of did our own individual thing, but some bucks went out there and still celebrated the day, celebrated 1,300 hours on Boxing Day. Get to the heads and turn right. I didn't really see too many people. I was cruising, doing my own thing. So I had a series of phone calls from my crew asking me where we were going and what we would be doing. So I kept the whole expedition run going with our weather and posted that on Facebook. So that occupied me for 30 hours anyway.
And how was that looking? Do you think you would have won the race given the conditions?
It would have been a close race between us and Blackjack, definite downwind conditions, but a lot of the conditions were over 25 knots, which we think does favour InfoTrack still. So it's hard to say who would have gotten there first, but I can pretty safely say that at least three or four boats would have gotten there inside Comanche's record, which would have been superb. Every time a boat breaks the Rolex Sydney Hobart race record, we say, oh, that won't happen again. But then it could have happened this year, but not to be.
Not to be. Well, let's hope you get down there next year. And what about for you, Bradshaw? If the world does open up and you can get out of Sydney or Australia, what's on the cards for you this year?
We have our travel permits ready to leave Australia, just waiting for the boss to give me the go-ahead to get to Antigua, where Triple Lindy, the Cookson 50, is completely packed away. She weathered hurricane season up there and in Antigua, and I'll have the boys start to put her together towards the end of February, beginning of March. And hopefully I get to do a little bit of this inshore series that CYC is hoping to put on with a couple of mates on the 60-footer here, and then head over to Antigua, put the boat together. The Whale St. Bart in April, which is always a lot of fun to do, a little bit of day racing. And then we need to work out how to get Triple Lindy over to LA for the Transpac. We're not quite too sure whether we'll put her on a ship or just sail it to LA and do the Transpac race, and the boss wants to do the Hobart race next year. So we've got a little bit of a schedule lined up for this year now, and hopefully that we can pull that together. Our biggest issue is that we have crew from Australia, New Zealand, USA, Canada, the UK, Spain and Italy. So we've got to get everybody together, and that seems to be a little bit of a logistical nightmare if you don't own your own plane, but we'll make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I really hope you do, because it'd be great for everyone to see some Aussies out in Antigua and to see those boats on the water again. And everyone, I think, is looking forward to the Whale for sure. It's kind of crazy to think that's where it all began, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And we love Antigua. It feels like going home every year. And so I'm just glad to get back to the usual faces and places and go catch up with our mates there and just generally be at home in Antigua before we start the travelling circus again. So if it's not Antigua, it's Rhode Island, and they're kind of pretty similar in my mind, that we know everyone, we can get everything done that we need to. And so we hope we can make it happen, and we can get the boat out of the caravan. She's been sitting there for too long.
I hope you can too. And if anyone's watching and has a plane in Australia, maybe lend it to the boys so they can take it for a jolly to Antigua, and they'll bring it back safely a few months later.
Right, I can take you for a start.
Yeah, what a great, that's a great trade. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. It's really good to see you again. I am sorry that you didn't get the Hobart done, and let's look forward to catching up in Antigua, and really look forward to seeing you guys in Europe when you finish the Transpac.
That would be cool.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Enjoy the downtime.
Thank you. Oh, it's been a year of downtime now, so it's time to get back to work, that's for sure.
Yeah, all our fingers are getting soft.
Yeah, they are. And I'm not wearing gloves.
You never have you?
No. Nah.
Awesome. Well, get the metho on the fingers and get ready for Antigua. Look forward to seeing you out there. Thanks, everyone. You've been watching Yachting International Radio with Manda and Bradshaw. See you soon.